May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Six years ago, I was privileged to spend 3 weeks in Israel on a study tour. Two of my closest friends from seminary and I were awarded scholarships for the Palestine of Jesus course that is offered by St. George's College in Jerusalem. It's a fine Anglican institution, and it's associated with the cathedral there in Jerusalem. We figured out pretty quickly that at every sacred site in the Holy Land, there are plentiful opportunities to spend your money on trinkets and souvenirs. My two friends and I established a contest on our first day out. The goal was to find the tackiest souvenir you could get for under 25 shekels. It turns out that I have a knack for finding cheap, tacky souvenirs. I won that contest hands down, ending up with a spectacular array of gaudy baubles to bring home to all my friends and family. So, one of the best of the worst was an 8x10 holographic picture of Jesus. Now, you know how those work. You hold it one way and you see one picture. You tilt it just a little bit and you get a picture that's somewhat related but entirely different. This holographic picture of Jesus depicted him on the cross in both cases. But one was the image of the naked, suffering sacrifice in agony at the point of death. The other image was the Christus Rex, Christ the King in royal robes, crowned head held high, and arms outstretched to embrace the world from the cross. Now, in many churches, you'll see at least one of these images somewhere in the nave. Here we have our conge crucifix, represented quite simply in stylized iron, but obviously depicting the suffering of Jesus. At my first parish in Ormond Beach, Florida, the Christus Rex soars 20 feet above the altar, and there Jesus is robed in the royal red and has a regal crown on his head. Today is the day when the church honors Christ the King, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever. I broke out into song earlier. I won't do that now. I'm in the Foothills Chorale, and we have been practicing the Messiah, and that hallelujah chorus has just been running through my head for weeks now. Who is this King of Glory? Is he the Lord mighty in battle? Is he the Lord who's going to conquer death and sin? Is he the shepherd who lays down his life for his lambs? Is he riding the clouds triumphantly? Or does he come to us quietly in the guise of the least of these? In today's gospel lesson, we get the holographic Jesus. We get the image of the King of Glory sitting in judgment, and then the picture is tilted a little bit, and we get the image of Christ in the hungry, thirsty, naked stranger, sick and in prison. And behind both of those images looms Jesus crucified, hanging on the cross. You see, the setting for this holograph is a vision of the great judgment that comes immediately before the Passion. If you continue reading in the book of Matthew, the next sentence, immediately following on those sentences of judgment at the end of our reading, you will hear this. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." And so we have this dual, maybe even triple image of Jesus in our gospel reading today. And the judgment scene that we're dealing with this morning has so often been interpreted to mean that if you want to end up on the right side with the sheep, you have to earn it by doing good work, taking care of the poor and the needy. We do have to take care of the poor and the needy, and our family and our friends and our enemies. But not because doing that punches that ticket to paradise. We have to take care of the poor and the needy and everyone else because that's where we meet Jesus. That's where we meet the Good Shepherd. He's out there taking care of his flock. There's no price to pay. That's already been paid. If we're going to learn anything from these parables of judgment that we've had in this cycle over the last 3 weeks, we need to understand that judgment is going to happen. It will come for each of us. And the turning point of that judgment is not the content of our character. It isn't our worthiness. The turning point of that judgment is faith. The separation of goats from sheep is not a matter of morality, but of trusting that God is God and we are not. God, who is creator, who is redeemer, who is sanctifier, has been revealing God's self to us and to all humanity from the foundation of the world. And the primary characteristic of God is that everlasting loving kindness that has been unleashed in the world. God has always been sending out that loving kindness into the world through God's people, through God's Son, and now through us. Every time we reach out our hands in love, we release into the world the love of God. And that is faith. That is lived, not just believed. And that is the faith upon which judgment turns. The faith that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the gift that we have been given of that holy oil of preparedness that fuels the light of Christ shining within our faithful hearts, that is the criterion of judgment. In some strange, mysterious, and wonderful way, Jesus comes to us as our brother, as a shepherd, as a savior, as a king. What's interesting to me in this parable that we have today of the goats and the sheep is that neither the goats nor the sheep recognize Jesus, recognize the King. They are all surprised when they hear that they have been in the presence of the King. Sometimes I'm surprised when it occurs to me that I have been in the presence of Jesus. Behind the King, behind the Christ child from whom we will be waiting for the next few weeks, behind the faces of the hungry, thirsty, naked strangers whom we are meant to serve, behind all of that is Jesus, the man from Galilee who calls us to follow him and trust in him, the Son of Man, one of us, who is God incarnate. And he tells us that we must seek and serve him in others, all others, strive for justice and dignity for others, all others, and to proclaim the good news of God in Christ to others, all others. And to do that, we're going to have to go out into the field where the sheep are and the goats. And to do that, when we go out, we have to be willing to look at the picture that we are presented with, whether it's someone who's homeless on the street, someone who is fleeing an abusive relationship, someone who's been told they are not worthy because of who they are. We need to be able to see that picture and tilt it enough so that we can see Jesus in that person. And that isn't always easy to do, but it's what we have to do. We have to do it for the sake of Jesus. We have to do it for the sake of the people out there in whom we would see Jesus. We even have to do it for our own sakes. So as you go out today, walk around in the world, every face that you see is actually a holographic Jesus waiting for you to tilt the picture just enough to see Jesus there.